Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Small Business Digest Radio. My name is Don Mazzella, and I am your host for a program devoted to identifying strategies and suggestions to help small business managers increase profits, add sales, better manage cash flow, improve employee management, and streamline operations. Our guests are other entrepreneurs and experts offering their solutions to the problems and opportunities facing small business leaders. Our aim in each program is to provide one or two thought-provoking ideas or suggestions. So follow us on Twitter at #2SBDigest or at our website at www.smallbusinessdigest.net. Well, we have an exciting program today. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and our first guest is Kurt Raffi. He's VP Mobile Engagement and Innovation of Endurance International Group. And they conducted a survey, which I found fascinating and thought our audience should hear as well. But Kurt, before we do anything else, tell us a little bit about yourself and your personal background before we do anything else.
Sure, Don. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on here. I work with a company that really provides online solutions to small business owners, everything from websites to security to email to e-commerce solutions, and it's an amazing opportunity simply because I've lived in kind of both shoes. I was an entrepreneur. I actually started a business many moons ago and lost my shirt and went back to working for someone else, and then over the years ended up starting another consulting company as well. And today I get to really focus on new solutions and helping craft them for small business owners around the globe. So that's kind of me right now.
Okay, it's you right now, but we'll go on from there. Tell us about the survey and what you some of the things that you found out.
You know, it's interesting, Don. I mean, when we were reaching out, we were actually reaching out around the 4th of July a few weeks back and really trying to get into the head of the small business owner and had a pretty phenomenal response. But we wanted to know their opinion of small business, and it's interesting. 70% of the folks surveyed said that owning a small business is the best job they've ever had. So it's interesting. It's their passion, in that I guess 68% of the survey folks also said it allows them to pursue their passion. So they see it as a committed thing that they're doing, just like a job, but it's the best thing that they've really ever done to be able to express themselves and what's inside themselves. And having been there in the same shoes myself over a number of years, I can echo those sentiments. I mean, the survey said it's because they want control of their time. They want control of their destiny, and they want to express their passion. And those are almost the exact same motivators that 15 years ago really got me into my own business as well.
Well, let me ask you a question on that. And I looked at your survey and found it. But wouldn't it, since it's necessarily a self-selected survey, wouldn't the people that were happy answer that rather than more than people who were not happy?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly have bias within kind of segments when you're actually doing a survey. When we actually sent the survey out, didn't, if you will, select any specific segments or targets to present the actual survey to. So as best as we could make it an unbiased survey, it was. And we made it, or we positioned the survey so that folks felt that they could really express their opinions about small business. So if they wanted to rant and talk about how it is a hassle or something, they could do that as well. I don't know if any survey is perfect, but we were pretty impressed with the results.
Okay. So now tell us some of the other results that you got from this. Because there was so much in it that's why you're on this program.
Yeah. I think it's interesting and I won't step on any political hot potatoes today, but we're in an election year, and small business is is a major driver for our economy in the U.S. And it's interesting, when we did the survey, we asked them how financially involved they or invested they actually were in their small business. And nearly 40%, I guess it's 37%, said that they are completely financially invested in their business. And that's pretty significant. I mean, that's not only their livelihood, that's their assets, that's everything they have financially. And when you have 40% of the small business population stating that, small business is something that really needs to be protected and really needs to be fostered. So I'm hoping to hear more of that in the political discourse this fall as well, as we get closer to election time, because there's so much at stake.
Well, did you ask them the preference of political candidate, or did you stay away from that?
No, we stayed away from that. Regardless as to whether you're in a red or a blue state or whatever your affiliations are, and this year certainly has a lot of passions around that. We were more interested in kind of what that kind of business meant to you. And we also looked at things, Don, like their differentiation between work and personal time. Does the individual have time to take vacations? And literally a third of them said, I don't have time to take vacations. This is it. I'm in a business and I have no time available. And then over a third of them said, there's no differentiation between my work and personal life. So as you're seeing here, it's really painting a story that owning a small business isn't something that someone can do kind of a part-time venture, per se. Certainly they can get started that way, and I did. But when they're in it, it's all-encompassing. It takes over their personal life, their time, and 30% of them or 31% said they can't see their family and friends as much as they'd like simply because they are there running that business. So all-encompassing, all-focused passion is really what's driving these folks, and I find that fascinating.
Well, I do. Did you ask them about their children, and whether who would follow or exit strategies or any of the other things like that?
You know, we did not, and that's a great follow-up, and we should probably do that. The actual time with the family was definitely a stress point that they noted in here, and that 31% said they can't see their family as much as they'd like to. But I think when you look at the growth trajectory of a lot of these businesses, they start as a, if you will, a hobby or a passion, and they quickly become all-encompassing for all of the family. So many of these folks have it as a family venture, not just what they're doing themselves. I'm going to correct myself here in that we did ask one question that I forgot, where 29% said that they want to build something that their family can be involved in. So the motivation for actually building a business isn't just for their own gain. It's for bringing the rest of their family involved, whether it be a spouse, children, grandchildren, folks like that.
Absolutely. All I'm going to ask you, so tell us some more. You're bringing some fascinating things to the table, and I think our audience would like to hear some more.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the survey in its entirety, it really is talking about something that's very unique to I originally thought it was the American experience, but it's not. It's a global experience. We have a lot of teams and folks that I work with at Endurance that are internationally based. And as you really delve into their passions, whether it's in Europe, in the U.S., Canada, Asia-Pac, they're looking for freedom. And it's not just political freedom. They're looking for freedom to control their destiny, to control their life, and – that's a universal motivation. And that came in loud and clear here in this survey in a way that I hadn't seen before in any other surveys. So that was kind of an affirmation that when we say things like the American way, I don't think it's just the American way. I think it's the global way. So many people, wherever they are around the world, if they're in India and we have offices there, are starting small businesses. And I work with a team in Holland and they've got small businesses. There's this kind of universal motivation where I want to be in control of my earnings, my income, when I start, when I stop, and all of that. So that, I think, is far more universal than I understood, and is something that's incredibly laudable, and we need to support that. And we're trying to do that with the tools to enable small businesses to create a web presence, to manage cash flow, to help folks sell online, all of which can be kind of a challenge, Don. And I know you run a radio show, and I'm sure there are technical aspects to that, but you got to reach out to experts to help you do what you do. And so the average small business owner, whether they're building, oh, I don't know, we've got one of our customers that is in Utah, and he builds these mid-century modern fireplaces that are just gorgeous, and they're all made out of steel, and he handcrafts it, and it started as really kind of an art project for him and has morphed into a very large business around the globe. But building a website is complex, and I was having conversations with him, and he said he built his own e-commerce store. He built his own website using our tools, and he said, you know what, I need help with that. I really need someone to guide me in that process. So I think now when I look at what I've done, both previously as an entrepreneur and having failed miserably, and now being able to say, okay, how do I help people not go through the same problems that I did, we're able to say, okay, what tools can we give to that small business owner that can help them focus on what they do best, which is probably their craft, their product, their service, and help the confusing part around technology, financial management, loans, things like that kind of recede into the background and really focus on their passion.
Well, let me ask you a question. You recognize that something you failed miserably. Was a major cause of failure, and what have you learned from it?
Ah, interesting. Okay. It's getting personal now, right? Originally I had started a business early stage of the internet world that was it was called Car Consultants, and it was an auto inspection and auto insurance business. I knew nothing about social media marketing, and there really wasn't a lot of opportunity then. I knew nothing about search engine marketing and paying for Google Ads and AdWords and things like that. So I wish at that time I had someone who could have helped me, and I wish I had a lot of the tools that exist now that just didn't exist then. And I also wish I had someone who could guide me on capitalization, because I was woefully undercapitalized could only run for a certain period of time, and I spent so much on marketing, and that when I had to scale the business beyond that, there just wasn't the resources. So that, I think, informs a lot of my decisions today as we guide small business owners. Do we have products that are not only do-it-yourself, but we have solutions now that are do-it-for-me. So we have do-it-for-me ad creation services. We have do-it-for-me marketing solutions. And on top of that, I think the other thing that informs a lot of my decisions today are ease of use. I started in life out of college as a pure marketer. And so I was kind of grilled in traditional kind of branding, communications, techniques, things like that. And then a few years later, I was given the opportunity to work on a couple of online products and serve as the voice of the customer for that. And I was a good voice of customer because I was pretty dumb about most technology things. And I would just sit with the developers and they said, Kurt, we want the application to do this. And I would go, well, that doesn't make sense to me. If I was using this thing, I wouldn't understand it. And I'm too busy to try to figure it out. So I was able to guide them They taught me technology, and I taught them really kind of what the struggles or the average small business owner's mindset is when using an online tool. So all of those early failures and early experiences kind of fed into kind of how I drive product innovations and mobile products today and strategy around products. And then I've also, I've over the years, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I also served as a consultant to a couple of businesses in New York that were getting started and were building small business payroll services. And I think at that point, I was much better at guiding them and saying, okay, this is where you need to go from a strategy perspective. This is what the small business owner is going to be needing. And the only way I could make those calls was A, to have been a small business owner myself, B, to have made a lot of those mistakes, and C, to have worked with thousands upon thousands of small businesses. And I've worked at various kind of capacities with probably between 1 million and 2 million businesses, and today our product portfolio touches 5.5 million small businesses. So I see a lot of the struggles and I recognize a lot of them. And so our goal today and what informs me today is really my past and saying, how can we make a small business more effective with the time constraints that they have and probably also the technology constraints? They can't be wizards and brilliant in every aspect of owning a business. So can we take care of some of the heavy lifting and make them more focused on their passion?
Well, in your surveys that you ask, and that's a very important point. It's a lot easier to start a business today than it was even 5 years ago.
You're right.
And did you ask questions about that?
I mean, as far as starting and how difficult it is, Don?
Or how technology has helped their business grow, or anything like that. You know, we're all aware there's literally thousands of companies out there doing, as you say, the heavy lifting. But
yeah.
I was wondering in your surveys if you had asked these companies how they were using these heavy lifters.
Yeah, no, I think we did go into that simply because we are a primarily a web presence and a marketing kind of company and provide those tools for small businesses. So we asked them about kind of prior experiences and what they use to promote their business. And 89% said they need a website or they're focused on a website for promoting their business. It's interesting, 76% still said word of mouth is key for driving their business, which requires probably less expertise. But 65% said social media marketing was key to driving their business forward. And that's a whole new skill set that they require to do that. So I think from the standpoint of providing those tools, they're starting to point to some new areas. They certainly need help with the technology. We're doing that. Understanding how things like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat and beyond fit into their business. They need someone to guide them. 65% said that's huge. 35% said they need help with search engine optimization. And once again, those are things that you're not necessarily taught out of the box for a small business owner. And to your earlier point, there's not a lot of barriers. I mean, I can set up a business right away. But that's just the beginning. I need help with all of these other disciplines. And they're definitely putting their hand up and saying, yeah, I need help with that. And I think the other interesting standpoint is that 44% of the survey said that owning a business is the absolute hardest thing that they've ever done in their life, regardless as to what they did for a work or a job prior to that. So there's definitely low barriers to entry. It's a hard thing to do. And to your point, there are all of these back office and special skill sets that are required today that an average small business owner is going to need some help with.
You're giving us a lot of information. Your company provides some of this heavy lift, but exactly how do you help a small business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when you look at what we do, and we operate, Endurance operates with a lot of different brands. Some of our competitors have one brand they go to market with. We go to market with brands like Bluehost and HostGator and iPage and iPower and WebsiteBuilder.com. We recently acquired Constant Contacts, which is the world's leading email marketing platform out there. We're one of the largest Google partners out there. So we've got a lot of tools, and that can be overwhelming to a small business. So each of our brands approach the small business owner in a unique way. For instance, Bluehost, which is just a phenomenal brand of ours, really has an incredible focus on WordPress websites. So if a small business owner or someone who perhaps is a designer and they're starting a design practice building websites for someone, or they're maybe a little geekier and they're a coder, and I say geeky in the most loving of ways, if they're building a WordPress website or a WordPress-style business, we are the hosting platform to choose. We have an incredibly tight relationship with WordPress itself, and have an incredibly high volume of sites created. So building a website, but it doesn't stop there. Typically, someone needs to go along with their website. If it's mycoolsmallbusiness.com that I'm buying the domain name for, I need to be able to do that. So we provide certainly the domain names and the ability to search and find those. If I need to couple my email with that, so it's kurtraffy@mycoolsmallbusiness.com. We provide the email to do that as well. We have other variants of that. So Bluehost, once again, is really positioned in kind of that WordPress world. And then we have other brands like WebsiteBuilder.com or SiteBuilder.com or Siteleo, which are designed for someone who really wants to jump into a kind of a WYSIWYG, and forgive me using that term, kind of a self-service website builder where I can drag and drop cool sections onto a page, and without knowing code, I can quickly build a website. I can do it through those brands, and we have thousands of small businesses signing up with us on a daily basis through those type of channels, and we call them gateways. So, and then we have brands like Constant Contact, which is just a phenomenal brand. Anyone who's done any email marketing or received email marketing, chances are they've received some type of email from Constant Contact. And Constant Contact, once again, is really positioned around the marketing focus. So I want to promote my business. Well, let's do it with email marketing. But Constant Contact, along with some other brands, also has other advertising channels. So if I want to create a Facebook ad, and Facebook has some really cool new products that allow a small business owner to market their business. One of the things that they've recently come out with is the ability for someone to create a lead from Facebook. So I put out a form on Facebook that's native to Facebook for Kurt Raffy's lawn mowing service or something like that. And if someone's interested in a lawn mowing service, they immediately click, I'm interested, get back to me. And Facebook has all of that information about me, because I'm on Facebook as well, as a potential customer. So it's populated into that form, and then it comes right to Kurt's small business lawn mowing service. So, and in that case, I was playing both the customer and the small business owner. So, but okay, we provide Kurt, all of the guidance and enablement for tools like that.
We could go on and on, but I see our next guest is on the board. Again, how do people reach you and your company? Now, you listed so many companies, but how do you get an overview of it, and how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, they certainly can go to endurance.com, And that's our corporate our corporate parent company website that lists all of the brands that we offer. They can also go to places like Bluehost.com, HostGator.com, iPage.com, ConstantContact.com, and WebsiteBuilder.com. So also great ways to get in touch with us.
Well, Kirk, really thank you for coming and talking about the survey. It was fascinating. And is it published any place that people can look at more results?
It is. You'll find it both on the Endurance website. You'll see it across the press right now as well, and on our Facebook pages, and being, if you will, republished in a lot of other media outlets as well. So it shouldn't be difficult to find.
Okay. Thank you, Kurt, for being with us. It's been really illuminating.
Don, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much, and happy small business to you as well.
Thank you. We are a small business. Our next guest is Gary Baum. He's VP of MyScripts. And here's to discuss the next frontiers in handwriting technology. Gary, welcome to the show.
Don, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we always ask our guests a little bit about themselves personally before we do anything else. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I've been in high tech for many, many, many years, starting with some of the early PC processors where I was employed by Intel in the startup years, and have been largely with the PC and computational or embedded technology markets throughout the years. Most recently, I've been interested in more forms of interfacing with the devices, active stylus, writing, those types of devices. And that has taken me to both hardware pen companies and now at MyScript, where we're actually enabling digital handwriting.
Well, you know, I'm always amazed. One of the questions always comes up, how did they read doctor prescription scripts? And then it's my, you know, I mean, they absolutely make no sense. But essentially, we're talking about the technology in which you're verifying the signature and you're verifying the check, most notably in checks, but in other things too. Am I right?
No, not at all. We're not involved in the security aspects of verifying a signature belongs to a particular user. But what we are in the business of is enabling input on a tablet device to write like you would on paper and making it available for everybody. Instead of being limited to only a keyboard or only a keyboard in voice, we believe in multimodal input, which is use whatever is the best for the right situation. So the industry has actually changed in the last about 2-3 years, and what you're seeing is these 2-in-1 systems where it's really a detachable keyboard to a small tablet. The Microsoft Surface is a really good example of that. The latest Apple iPad Pro is another example of that, where there's a stylus, an active pen that is really good. Those are growing in the market by over 70%, while the rest of the computational market, including smartphones, is actually declining in volumes and numbers. So the emphasis has been, how do we get more productivity out of our machines? How do we do more with less effort, and how is it more accurate? And one of the ways to input on a tablet that is very convenient is to just write like you would on paper. And that's what we're enabling, this digital handwriting.
So in other words, my scribbles, they can turn into typed pages.
Yes, exactly. So what we would do is allow you to write characters, words, cursive, paragraphs, headlines, titles, and we would allow you to format those, you know, put them into a color, highlight the text, draw diagrams org charts, mind maps, floor plans, and have them beautified and digitized. Add pictures, annotate on those pictures with ink, do sketches, even math equations for students and oftentimes for small businesses. It's very, very important to be able to just write a math equation or write some numbers down and get an answer. Do have a calculator where there's a permanent record of the result of what you're doing, and write the comments in between these equations so you know what your bid is, or you know what you're computing or what problem you're solving. All that is available in a technology we call interactive ink. And I can expound upon interactive ink a bit, but what it allows is your handwriting for all these different things you may wish to do to be digitized and then move directly into an email and to other software applications that you might wish to store or modify or edit. So it eliminates this notion of writing your notes down on paper or on a device and then having to retype them or redraw them or recreate them or re-enter them. It's a huge productivity gain.
Please go on. It's fascinating to me. You say
okay,
that you, so, please expand. The floor is
okay.
Yours.
So what my script has done over the last two decades is actually use artificial intelligence and neural networks to recognize handwriting. So we're now building upon that base, and we support languages that cover over 90% of the world's population, right to left languages, left to right, top to bottom, oriental characters, a whole variety of languages. So we cover that. We also cover diagrams, which are shapes with text, with connectors, and we allow you to manipulate those and edit those with your pen, either in digital form or in ink form, something that's never been done before. So we're making this technology available as a toolkit to software developers and OEMs, but also we're going to have a demonstration app of this technology called Nebo that will be entering the market in the Windows Store and the Apple Store for use on a Surface platform or any Windows 10 with an active pen, and the Apple iPad Pro with the pencil. You must have the pencil to have ink inputs. And this will give users the ability to do these things I've just described. And it's a remarkable technology in that we're managing the ink in a way that has never been done before. And that's adding the information of what the ink means so that we can manipulate it and reflow it. So by reflowing, I mean if you change your tablet from landscape to portrait mode, instead of the ink kind of flowing off the end of the screen with a scroll bar at the bottom, we actually reflow that ink and take what might have been one or two lines or three lines and make them several lines so that it all fits within the display that is available to the system, which is extremely important if you wish to share documents between tablets and smartphones, because a smartphone display is obviously much smaller and you would need many more lines to flow your text, similar to what you would do with a browser. In fact, we could even export everything you write, convert it to digital, and put it in a browser. So that's one of the modes that it has. So this is exciting for us, and I think it's going to be a big productivity gain for small businesses, enterprise users, as well as students. Even the initial version of the little demo app we have called Nebo will be quite valuable to many people.
Well, let me ask you a question. I've talked to some people who say that the handwriting of most people has deteriorated over the last 10 to 20 years. Is that affecting how you're doing it, or are they wrong?
Well, I suspect that they are correct in that the handwriting has deteriorated. Also, in some cases, the schools have actually stopped teaching cursive in elementary school and substituted keyboarding. But there's a backlash on that now, where recent studies have found that the cognitive abilities, the way your brain actually works, remembers information better if you write it, because then you have to kind of process it. So writing is better. Papers created by, you know, starting with writing actually are more creative. So there's a lot of value in that, but really from a small business point of view, it's ease of use. A virtual keyboard takes up most of your tablet screen. It's hard to kind of type. You can't edit equations. You can't put in drawings very easily. It's a challenging thing to do. It's much better to just take a pad of paper and write. But then you have something on paper. It's hard to store, share. Most often it has to be retyped or re-entered or to be shared. Why not be able to just write on your tablet, store everything, and be able to find it, be able to search it, and be able to share it in digital form? So what we're really doing is creating this bridge between the ink itself and the digital world. So for the handwriting, yes, we have to deal with deteriorated handwriting, and we take millions and millions of samples, and we feed that into our machine learning, and it learns not only the characters for a particular language, but also the linguistics, the semantics, the context of how it's used. If you're writing something about a horse and you talk about a horse barn, it thinks that you wrote house barn, it will know that now it's most likely a horse. It will prompt you correctly. And much like a word processor, sometimes you can scribble something and not even write the right thing, and it knows, well, that was an and or a the, and it will put that into the text for you, and it prompts you so you can see it and edit it. Wouldn't it be great to just be on paper and cross something out and just have it magically disappear and your ink close up and you can see what you've written without the cross out there? That's what we enable. It's when you first see it, it's kind of like, wow, this is cool.
The topic is absolutely fascinating. Oh, if I'm hearing you correct, it's almost as if you can write and input at the same time.
Well, yeah, what you write is as if you were taking notes on paper, except it's on a device. And then just by double tapping it, it's converted to a digital form that you can export into an email or any place else. As you pointed out, most people really don't want to share their personal penmanship. They will share characters or digital form of the information. So if they handwrite some notes from a meeting, from a proposal, from a lecture, and they wish to share those notes or they wish to study them later, it's easier to do that in a typeset form versus your handwriting form. So we enable that transition. And that's unusual. There's, you know, most pens to date or most devices to date only capture ink strokes. We go far beyond that. We capture not only the ink strokes, but we capture the meaning of what is being written. And that extends beyond just text. It extends to the diagrams and math equations and a variety of other things. So it's a new frontier. There's been essentially three reasons why people have not embraced a digital stylus on their devices. The first has been that the stylus has been poor, with ink sometimes lagging or not appearing underneath the point of the stylus. Those issues are long behind us in the industry. The Apple iPad Pro, the Microsoft Surface products, and a variety of other active stylus Windows 10 devices from popular OEMs have solved that problem. The next problem is when I write something, it's no better than writing on paper because I can't get it into the digital form. So a few people convert it to digital form, not all apps, but some do, and some use our technology. And the problem with that is then that the formatting gets lost. You get these little islands of information, but you still can't really transport it nicely into an email or some other document. So that third issue of how to literally create documents, you know, create something conceptual like you would in a word processor with your handwriting, and include diagrams and include pictures and include annotations on those pictures. That hasn't been done before and taken into the digital world. So that's the real benefit. It's really being able to shortcut this whole process of writing and then creating a document and just writing and having the machine create the document for you with some editing that you can do directly with the pen. You can edit your ink, you can cross it out, you can create carriage returns, the equivalent of that. You can add paragraphs, you can close gaps in words. So all that is possible, which has not been possible before.
Yeah, I'm sitting here just amazed, thinking back. I'm a little older than our audience, and you know, all this was a pipe dream when I first went into business, and now it's available to everybody. What about the future? What do you see as the future?
Well, I think the future is going to build upon this. I mean, the very first version of this app has a long list of features we'd love to add and things that people would love it to do. So it will evolve. But the basic technology will also evolve. Wouldn't it be great to just draw by hand? If you're trying to do a floor plan, just draw a floor plan by hand in ink and make sure that the corners are right angles just by a simple gesture. Assign the length to each side because you can measure that and have an accurate floor plan as if you had done it on a CAD/CAM system, you know, for a simple drawing. But just by doing it freehand, that's coming. We already have some capabilities to do things that are unrelated to what many people want, but is very important to some people. For example, musicians. We can recognize handwritten notes and typeset those into music staffs. Prasanas, one of our partners, uses this technology in their application called Notation. And users can actually compose music simply by handwriting on their devices and get a final printed score. Wow, nobody's ever done that. So this is a very exciting age we live in. And we only see the artificial intelligence, the machine learning, the new techniques continuing to increase the performance of the machines and the power consumption. The performance goes up, the power consumption goes down. We're seeing a vast proliferation of good digital active pens entering the world. That's all fueling this move towards another way. It's just one more way to interface with your device. You're not limited to simply a keyboard, but now you have a choice. You can use a keyboard when it's right. You can use a virtual keyboard when it's right. You can use handwriting when it's right. And, of course, voice when it's right.
Wow. For the average business owner, what do you say to them when they look at all this array of potential time saving? Do you have how do you tell them to adopt to or suggest they adopt to all of this?
Yeah, good question. The majority of our focus, of course, is for software developers or hardware computer OEMs, but we do make available some demo apps, as I've been talking about, one of which is MyScript Calculator. It's been available on the Apple Store, the iTunes Store, and on the Windows Store, it's coming, and then Android. So if you have an Android smartphone, for example, or an Apple smartphone, you can download it today. There's 30 million downloads. It's won many, many awards over the past few years, which is very gratifying to us that the concepts of interactive ink are proven to be useful and practical. But what you get is an unusual calculator. You get a blank sheet of paper, and you simply write what you want calculated. And as you write, it computes the answer for you. So you could you don't have to calculate how to enter an equation into your calculator. You just write it in any order you wish. and it will find the answer. So there that's one thing that many people have found helpful. It's available for no cost on Android and Apple stores for iOS and for Android smartphones and tablets, of course. The other one will be coming available next week, which actually uses interactive ink to take notes. And here, at least initially, we will be at no cost on the application on the Windows Store and the Apple Store. It'll be for Microsoft Surface products or other Active Pens or Apple iPad Pro with the pencil. You must have a pencil, of course, so we'll limit the app to those types of systems. And here you can take notes, draw diagrams, and do all the features I described a little bit earlier. And I think many users will find that a helpful application. And as the months progress and the years progress here, our partners will be using this technology to build a variety of different types of applications for note-taking and for a variety of other functions, including, you know, perhaps even medical or various vertical markets where there's a need for a very specific type of solution. And handwriting could be used as the input method. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that will be excited to try this. Some people will not have these systems, but when they buy new systems, they will be getting pens or active pens with their systems, and this would just be a natural thing to put on those systems.
Gary, one last question. You've obviously been in this area a long time and know it very well. What are your plans? What do you hope to do?
For me personally?
Yeah. You're one of the most knowledgeable people I've had on this program in a long time. I mean, you really know this whole thing inside and out. But
Well, thank you. I want to see handwriting become useful. I want to see the machines that we all use every day become more valuable to us. And what we've seen, I mean, IDC and Gartner, many of these analyst firms have forecast that by 2020, well over 75% of the world's small business population will be mobile. And if that's the case, which we're seeing by the sales of these smaller tablets and keyboards and 2-in-1 systems or ultralight systems, there's a variety of names in the industry. We've seen that those sales are increasing dramatically, while other forms of computation, including smartphones, are decreasing. Tablets in general are decreasing. And the reason for that, I believe, is that media consumption on a tablet, while fun, it doesn't help you with your productivity in a business environment. So when you start trying to press these small systems into productivity and business environments, having the ability to write with a handwriting, I think, is important. We're going to see that trend continue. I personally want to see that become standard, just like we've seen voice start to become accepted and known in the right situation. It makes perfect sense. In the wrong situation, of course, you don't use it. So the user will actually have to decide what is the best way to interact with the machine. And I personally want to make sure that handwriting is one of the options available. It's a difficult one to enable for users on small systems with, where battery life is a concern, lightweight systems and computing is a concern. And I'm personally very, very excited that we've achieved some really major breakthrough milestones in this. The MyScript Labs has been the world's premier handwriting recognition technology experts, quite some number of PhDs working for almost 2 decades on this problem. Inspired by how the brain actually reads and modeling that and making that work on a machine. So that whole artificial intelligence machine learning of teaching the machine how to read, that's effectively what we've done. And now we've enabled it, the user, to be able to interact with what is written in a meaningful way. That has never been done before. So I want to see this happen. I want to see people writing everywhere.
We're talking with Gary Baum. He's VP of MyScripts. I have another question for you. I don't believe the software which translates Japanese characters into English prose, but do you have the capability of translating the characters into Japanese, or is it English only?
We support, well over 90 some languages around the world, and in some cases we do that translation or transliteration, as it's often called, referred to, and it depends on the application and what we're doing. In the case of our note-taking application, Meeble, there will allow any one notebook to take notes in any one of 60 different languages, and it will be a specific language for that particular notebook. But of course, you can have endless notebooks within on your system in endless different languages. Any of the 60 that's available. So sometimes we do that translation, and sometimes it doesn't make sense to do that. There's many, many services out there on the web and in applications that do that already, but very few that can actually recognize the ink and attach meaning to it. So we're focused on the more challenging problem that is more difficult to accomplish and actually provides greater value than a simple translation. Translations are getting very good now. So certainly our output in any one language can be used as input for any type of translation, or we could do the transliteration ourselves. It's up to the specific use case that we target.
Gary, people want to reach you and your company. How do they do it?
MyScript.com, MyScript.com. And the technology I'm referring to is called Interactive Ink. And next week, you'll be able to have access to an application called Nebo, N-E-B-O. And that will be available on both the Windows Store and the Apple Store.
Gary, thank you very much for a very illuminating discussion. I hope to have you back sometime and teach us all more, because you certainly taught me a lot today.
I'd love to come back. It's all about making life better for all of us and increasing our productivity. And Interactive Ink enables digital handwriting, and that's what we're about.
I learned a new phrase, and I'm going to put it in there, Interactive Ink.
Absolutely. It's
For me, it's a new word.
If you do a little search on it, you'll actually see that there's a fair amount of discussion on it in the industry. And in fact, in business news, the New York Post did an article on it last week. And you'll see it in a variety of tech publications as well as a variety of business publications. Interactive Ink is an exciting new technology. And over the next number of years, we hope that it gets embraced by a variety of developers such that there's a vast quantity of applications that can use it.
Well, thank you again, Gary, and have a good rest of the summer, and we will talk again.
Thank you. I'll look forward to coming back someday. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening tonight. All of our guests are invited because they offer actionable advice to our audience. They do not pay to join us, but rather demonstrate their capacity for helping our audience add profits. Thank you for listening, and we'll be here again next week with other experts to talk about ways to improve your profit picture.